Sing that little song, In Everything, Give Him Thanks. Seems appropriate at a time like this. It just help me sing this evening. In the good times, praise His name, and in the bad times, we can do the same. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Everything. King of Kings, all the things.
Amen. He's worthy tonight. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 372 in your hymn book. You thankful your sins are gone? Amen.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I can say my sins are gone. Oh, they are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession. Is from dawn in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me, he tries to make me doubt. I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. Oh, I'm glad my sins are gone, and they are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. Oh, they are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from gone. They're in the of God's forgiveness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. Oh, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Hallelujah, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Aren't you glad your sins are gone?
Amen.
Hidden underneath the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Never to be remembered again.
Hallelujah.
That ought to make a shout right there.
Yes,
sir. Amen. We greet you in the name of the Lord tonight. And happy to see everyone out. Brother Joel was a little worried that we were going to have one person per pew. And I told him, no. Everyone the Lord knew was going to be here will be here. And everyone's made it so far. So we're glad that you're here. We want to go to the Lord in prayer And we have an announcement first. Brother Nathan asked that we would remind the youth, ages 10 to 30, unmarried, that there's a youth Bible study on November the 29th. That'll be downstairs. Don't forget that. And the reason that I'm up here doing this tonight is because Brother Nathan is not here, in case anyone didn't know that. But we want to remember him and his family that are traveling and away for a few days. And also, Brother and Sister Jerry Bryan are traveling tonight, and Sister Debbie, his sister, is traveling, so remember them. And I'm not going to go into the list of everybody that's not here tonight, but if you look around and you see someone that's usually here that's not here, pray for them because they're probably traveling for the holidays. Amen. And Sister Courtney Vaughn, I ask that we would remember them tonight. Three of the children were not feeling well, and she has been getting a shot once a week, and it gives her a migraine, and she gets it on Wednesdays, and she's got five more of them to go. And she sent a request in and asked that the saints would pray that it would not give her a migraine because she wants to be here. And I believe that's a good request. And then there's a request here for Christian Stutzman that's not feeling well tonight, and we want to remember him. And how many of you have unspoken requests by your hands? Brother Arnie, if you would come and lead us in prayer and take these requests before the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, God forbid that we'd have to have a federal holiday to remind us to be thankful. Lord, every day's Thanksgiving when we're walking with you. We're so grateful tonight, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Anytime, night or day, we don't have to leave a message. We don't have to call and get a voicemail. We can talk to you anytime. We're so grateful for that, Lord. I believe that if the children of Israel would have had the access to your presence that we have in this hour, they would have thought they had died and gone to heaven. Lord, we are so grateful that we can talk with you any moment, anytime. Anytime where there's a problem or a need, we can come to you. And Lord, we ask you to undertake for the needs that have been mentioned tonight. Pray that you would be with Brother Nathan and his family. Give him a good time, relaxation while he's out of the harness for a few days. Pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this little service tonight. I pray that you would bless Brother Layton as he brings a message to us. I pray that you would open our hearts, cause us to be receptive to everything that you would say to us. Lord, I just want to say personally for myself, I'm so grateful for my precious family, for my dear wife and my sons and daughter. Thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, most of all for Calvary. We don't just do it. We don't just say that in the month of November. We say it every day, Lord. We're grateful. And I pray now that you'd have your way and that you'd help us to keep our hearts open. Help us to keep our ears tuned to what you would say to your little bride in this hour. We love you, Lord. The only reason that we care anything about you at all is because you first loved us. We'll always be thanking you for that. We pray these things tonight in the matchless name of Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. Well, we should be thankful, but we should also be glad. We have something in our hearts to be glad.
Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
So about the 10th clap, this thing really starts hurting. For those of you who don't know, I tried to cut the tip of my finger off, but God spared it. The surgeon was impressed about how pink the tip stayed, so I'll give a little praise report about that. But I want to clap, but it's pretty half-hearted. But it's much, much better. God's really, really been healing it, so thank you for your prayers. This is 151 if you don't know it.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with that fire that fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and it made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. For I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn of me nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. They're telling now both far and wide, His power it's yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Let's stand. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing. It will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. Will keep your soul on flame. It is burning now within my
my heart, oh glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with that fire that fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and it made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to God.
Why don't you turn and tell somebody that you're one of them?
Thank you, musicians. Well, are you glad to be one of them?
Amen.
Are you glad you're one of them?
Amen.
That's better. I thought you fell asleep on me already, and I just got up here. All right. The Lord is good to us, and we're glad to be here. I wish the pastor was here, but since he's not, he'd asked me to speak tonight, and the Lord has laid something on my heart, and the devil's fought. My wife can tell you how bad. And I had days where I wanted to tell Brother Nathan, get somebody else to preach. I'm not going to. And then the Lord would change my mind. Not always the easy way, but he would change it. So we're glad to be here. And if I can just say, how do I say that? Get tongue-tied up here. I did that in the office with Brother Furman. I was trying to say something. I said, I'm about as ready as... I said, well, now see, I'm ready. I'm about as ready as I'm going to be, and it's up to him. But if I can say something, it helps just one of you. It makes it all worthwhile.
Amen.
I've always had that attitude towards preaching, whether there's 8 people here or 500 people, it doesn't matter. I try to just yield to the Lord, and I have preached to both of those extremes, by the way, and try to preach just as hard to 8 as I did to 500. Because as long as he's doing it, it'll all be okay. I don't want to keep you standing too long, so let's have a word of prayer before we read. And I'm going to read from several places, so we'll do one or two, and then we'll have you sit, and I'll do the rest of them. Heavenly Fathers, we approach you now. Lord, we've already committed ourselves and this sermon into your hands and asking you to take complete control. And as I've told the people, if what I say helps only one of them, then you be praised. And if it helps every one of them, may you be praised. May you get the glory for all of this, Lord, for I'm just the vessel. But you take the vessel and use it in the way that you would. Bless your word and bless the hearers, and may it help in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. I'm sorry. Brother Furman said he'd stay up long enough to see if I was going to take my coat off. And I said, that depends on how warm it is, because I've been cold all day long. And it's a little cooler in the office downstairs with the door shut. But all is well. I had you sit before I was going to read. That's all right. I think the Lord understands. I'm going to read from Mark the 8th chapter, if you want to turn. And then I'm going to read from Mark the 10th chapter. And I'll read. I'll tell you again, so if you don't forget them. Then I'm going to Luke 12 and Luke 16. But Mark 8 to start with, the 36th verse, just the one verse. Said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his soul? Amen. Then over to Mark 10, 17. And we're going to read from 17 to 22. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked, said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And defraud not. And honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these have I served from my youth up," or from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And said, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And if you turn over into Luke, 12th chapter, and we'll read 16 through 21. And of course, all of these chapters and this story is familiar with all of you. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be which that thou hast provided?'" Then Luke 16, and we'll start at the 19th. "And there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and prayed sumptuously every day and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.'" And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Sorry for stumbling over that. I'm having trouble seeing the small print in that Bible. I guess I should have printed them out on paper in larger letters, and I could have read them. But nonetheless, we accomplished that. We all know the story of Lazarus and of the rich man and the rich young ruler, and we've just read it, how he came to Jesus, and Jesus loved him, but yet he gave him one commandment, to go sell all that he had and to come and take up his cross and follow him, but he couldn't do it. Isn't that amazing? He had one rule that he couldn't keep, and it cost him his soul. And I was thinking the other day, and I just kind of threw this in real quick yesterday, this Laodicean nation that we're in, or age that we're in, reminds me of the rich young man. Now, Brother Branham didn't say that. I'm just saying it reminded me of the rich young man. Because Jesus declared in Revelations, he said that we're rich. He said, you say we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. Yeah. Right. So was the rich man. Yeah. Even as a young man, he was rich. He was so rich that he couldn't sell what he had. and give to the poor and come take up his cross. So he went through life and he kept getting more and more riches, more and more goods. Perhaps he had one of the greatest houses in the land that you could live in, with hundreds of servants to wait on him and take care of his land. And he may have had hundreds of workers out in the fields harvesting the wheat and the who knows what all, the apples and the oranges or whatever they grew in those days, because his barns were full. And they were so full he couldn't put any more in, so he tore them down and built even bigger barns and filled them up. And then he laid back and said, okay, I've got it made. I've got all that I could want. What more could I ask for? I'm just going to sit back at ease. But he missed back. If he would have laid there that night and thought of the years back when he came across the Master and fell down at his feet and worshipped him and said, oh, tell me, what can I do to get eternal life? Mm-hmm. And it reminded him, oh, you're a good Christian man. Let's put it that way for our day. You're a good Christian man. Oh, you go to church. You know what the Word of God says. You obey all the words of God that you know up to this point. You've done this and you've done so on and so on and so on. You've kept all of this. He said, but you're rich, so go sell all that you have and come and follow me. And he couldn't do it. He didn't think about that the night that he laid there and said, my soul, thou art full and you're comforted and everything is just fine. Just take your ease and rest. But when he, shall we say, when he awoke up in hell, and he's being tormented, and he could look up from there and see Lazarus, the one that he wouldn't help, wouldn't even give him the crumbs. Now remember, the Word didn't say he ever gave him anything from his table. So let's just presume that he didn't, just for the sake of the story. He didn't feed Lazarus, but he had all that he wanted, but in the reverse order. Once he ended up where he was going and Lazarus went to his reward, what was it? It was just the opposite. He was the one being tormented, not Lazarus. And Lazarus was in a place of comfort and peace and healing and a good body and no need of anything. Because why? Because the rich young man became a rich middle-aged man. Then he became perhaps a rich older man down through the years. And he got his full of what? Of this life. Everything he could want in this life he had. But he failed to get the one thing that he really had need of. More important than all the orchards and all of the vineyards and all of the fields and all of the camels and all of the sheep and all of the goats or the horses or whatever they had in those days and all of the houses and all of the barns. He failed to get the one thing that was more important than that. And that was eternal life. That was to sell what you have and go help the poor. Sell what you have and come and follow me. And he couldn't do it. Boo, devil. He's trying to make my throat scratchy right when you get started, and then he wants to start jumping in there and say, okay, you're going to have to quit. But we're not going to quit. Amen. Oh, my. So we think, and here's my point. Here's my title of my sermon. What good does it do? So let me ask you, what good did it do this rich young ruler to gain all that he had? What good did it do him in the end? Oh, he may have had a great life. He may have had a comfortable life. He may have had all the fancy clothes he could want. He may have had the best of camels that he could ride into town, or buggies or donkeys or whatever he rode on in those days. He may have had the best that he could have. But there was the Master walking down the road one day, and he went and sought him out and said, what can I do to attain eternal life? And he said, go sell all that you have. You've kept all the commandments. But I want you to do one more thing. I want you to sell all that you have and give it to the poor, help them out, and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. And look what happened to him. Look what it cost him. It cost him his very soul. He may have been fine while he was walking around in this fleshly body, but when this body died and that soul went beyond the curtain of time in whichever direction it went to, and we know his went to hell and Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, look who then had the treasures. See, all that he had done him no good at that time. He couldn't buy peace. He couldn't buy a finger full of water. He couldn't buy an air conditioner. He couldn't buy anything that would take the torment away from him. Amen. But Lazarus didn't have to buy a thing because of what Lazarus was and who he was. It was already given to him. And he obtained it just simply by obeying God's word. And so it is today in the churches of Laodicea. They're rich. And they have need of nothing. They're building big churches and getting... And I'm not against having bigger churches if you've got a big congregation. As long as you're preaching the gospel. Amen. I'm not saying preaching some social gospel where you can run around and as I like to call them, it's come as you are, do what you want, just put your money in the offering plate, church. Yeah. I know of a person that went down to one of these churches here in town in one of these... Three Bergs, I'm not going to call it out. You probably figured out anyway. And walk in, and what did she tell me? She's going in there, and they've got coffee in the entryway and donuts in the entryway. Oh, my, isn't that nice? But you can get a cup of coffee and get a donut, and you come in, and you can sit down on the pew. Brother Adam, you can walk right up there and sit down, and the preacher gets up and preaches, and you can sit there and drink your coffee, and you can eat your donut. The women can walk in shorts and halter tops and flip-flops and whatever they want to do. The men can do the same thing. They can wear their wife beaters and their cutoffs, and they can come to church and drink coffee and eat donuts. But I wonder where the sincerity of serving God is at. I wonder what it does to have 12,000 people or 20,000 people or 10,000 people or 5,000 people and you don't preach the gospel. What good does it do to have 5 people if you don't get up and preach the gospel? What good is it do to have however how many God gave you to be the shepherd of, and yet you don't feed them sheep food? Then what is sheep food? It's the Word of God. Yeah. And it's not just the Word of God, because Brother Branham says we need more preachers in the pulpit preaching the Word of God with the power and the demonstration. Right. We need more of them preaching the gospel of repentance. In one place he said he believes in hell, it hot and it long. He said we need preachers that'll preach hell hot and long. And I'm here to tell you tonight, hell is going to be hot and it's going to be long. If you can walk down through Death Valley and you think that's hot, that's nothing compared to what hell's going to be. And it's a non-consuming fire forever, how long God has predetermined for them to be there. But here was a man that had his chance to avoid it, and yet he failed to do it. He didn't keep all of God's word. He forsook one word of God. What good did all of that do him? Think about it. So what good does it do, as we read in the first verse of Mark, on the first one that we read, what good does it do for a man if he shall obtain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What good is it? What good does it do you? What good does it do me to get fine houses and fine cars and fine clothes and have a great nice education and drive a good car and do this? What good is it? I'm not against that. As long as you've got God in it. As long as you've got Him in there and you're serving Him and keeping His word. It wasn't wrong for the rich young man to be rich. It was wrong for him not to obey God's word. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Are you preaching God's word? It doesn't matter if you've got 5 people or 5,000 people. Are you preaching God's word? Amen. It doesn't matter what you've got. Are you living God's word? Yeah. Am I living God's word? That's what counts, is not what we think we know, not what we think we understand, not what we think we have. It's are you living what you do know? Are you putting out there to the people what you do have about the Word of God? Are you showing them what it is? Are you trying to help them? Or are you just walking around and saying, okay, Lord, I know I've got the revelation. I'm fine. Oh, hi, how are you? And then they go right on. What do you do at work? Do you live the message at work? You say, message? All right, let me put it this way. Do you live a Christian life at work? That's right. I know a lot of people live the message. But what's in here? There's the difference. What's in here? Oh, they can talk it here. Believe me, I know a bunch of them. Oh, they can talk the message. They can talk a blue streak. And they can probably out-talk me, and that's hard to do. Except for Brother Nathan. Hey, I've told him that. But really, think about that. It's one thing to know the word. It's another thing to live the word. I guarantee you that Judas knew the word. He couldn't live the word. What good did it do him? Think about it. What good did it do Judas to have walked and talked and ate and slept with the Lord Jesus Christ and then turn around and betray him? Because he couldn't accept all that he said. He really couldn't. Look, if he hadn't really knew who he was, if he really had a revelation of who Jesus was, he would not have betrayed him. You say, oh, well, but he was predestined. That's, you know, the Lord could always get somebody else. But let's just take it. Sometimes I say those things. I like to take it for the sake of argument. Would you have betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ knowing what you know? I don't see any hands going up, see? I don't believe if Judas had really had a full revelation, he would have betrayed him. But he didn't have it, and he wasn't predestinated to get it because he was. Yes, he was predestinated for that condemnation. But we can go all the way back to the beginning with Cain and Abel. Two boys, two men. What'd they have? One commandment. Do what? Build me an altar. Build an altar and worship me. We got a whole book full of commandments. They had one. Eve had one. Don't eat from that tree. Don't you eat from that tree. And she couldn't keep it. What good did eating from the tree do her? Cain and Abel had one. Worship me. And here's how you'll do it. You'll bring sacrifices. But Cain thought he knew better. He knew better than God. I'm going to bring and make mine pretty. I'm going to bring him flowers and fruits and all of this. That's going to be nice. And but not Abel. He come dragging a lamb up there and threw it on the altar, cut his throat, and it bled to death. Why, it was blood, a symbol of Jesus Christ coming later years and giving his life as the Lamb of God for us. But you see, what good did it do Cain? None. He still showed forth what he was just like Judas did. Oh, he may have walked it, he may have talked it, he may have said, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and my church is going to look just as good as yours. And what I believe is just as good as what you believe. And what I wear is just as good as what you wear. And what I say is just as good as what you say. But what did God want? That's the thing. What good did it do him to not obey every word of God? What good does it do any man or woman or boy or girl to go to church and say, oh, I believe? The Bible says the devil believes. So believing isn't enough. So what good does it do you to come and warm the church pew if you're not going to live what you've been taught? What good does it do you if you're not going to live and share with what you know to somebody? If you don't do that, then what good does it do you? Like the little song says, I'm going to have my light and I'm going to put it up on a hilltop, or you're going to hide it under a bushel. Oh, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. Oh, let them know that I follow the teachings of William Branham. Are you crazy? But they say, well, you're a man follower. Yeah, I sure am. What man do you follow? Talk to him about his church. Let's see what they say. Well, now my pastor said, oh, really? Oh, thought you didn't follow a man. Well, our state presbyter said, yeah. Oh, the Pope said, yeah. I thought you didn't follow a man. Oh, do you know what that NASCAR race car driver, that big champion, you know what he said? Oh, you don't follow a man. Oh, that basketball player, did you hear what he said? Did you see what the coach said? Did you hear what that singer said? Did you hear what that rock star said? Oh, man, look at the people who follow them, hanging on every word they say, hanging on everything they do, hanging on everything they wear, hanging on to every place they go, hanging on every place they live. We even, some of them even want to know, what do you eat? Oh, but I don't follow a man. I do, and he's called Jesus Christ. Amen. I do, and I follow his prophet called William Branham. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. Been doing it for going on 50, wow, Brenda, soon be 55 years. In fact, next week it'll be 55 years since I met her. Poor girl. But she's put up with a lot for 55 years. But by the grace of God, we've made it. And anybody that can want to tell you that it's not, it's just because, oh, she loved me so much that she put up with it. Yeah, that's true too. But you know what? It was the grace of God to let her love me enough to put up with me. Amen. See, it's not me. It's not her. It's him. Amen. That's where people miss it. Oh, but I know Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so, and they were married for 80 years or 70 years or 60 years, and they never went to church. I feel sorry for them. I'm glad they made it, but I still feel sorry for them because they're missing the one thing that when they drop this veil of flesh, what happens next? Amen. So what good does it do you or me to accomplish what the rich young ruler accomplished? What good does it do to pile up riches in the bank? As I said, I'm not against having nice things, nice cars, nice home, nice clothes, nice jobs, nice education, some money in the bank. I'm not against that. But you've got to take that and do what? I'll say it my way. You've got to take that and temper it with the Word of God. You've got to take that and put the Word of God before all of that. Because what if tomorrow you wake up and the stock market's gone? What are you going to do if you wake up tomorrow, you go home tonight, and your house is burnt down? Uh-oh. What happens if you get up in the morning to go to, well, tomorrow maybe not, but how about the next day, and somebody stole your car, and you got here and they crashed it? Well, I got insurance. Well, but still, what about that car? What if you forgot and left your keys in it, and somebody stole it, and then the insurance company says, I ain't paying for that thing. You shouldn't have left your keys in there. So you see, all of this is good. If God lets you have all them things, that's fine, folks. But listen, what about eternal life? What good does all that do you if you haven't got Him? What good does it do to know the message if you don't know the author? What good does it do to go to church if you really haven't got the Holy Ghost down inside that's dragging you here and making you want to come, and there's something you just can't stand to stay away? There's a lot of them that go because. Find out what their because is. I go because I love God and I want to come and see. Lord, I want to come and worship you. I want to hear your word. I want to see what you're going to have the preacher say. I want to see what tape you lead the pastor to play. I want to see what's going to go on because I want to worship you. I want to watch you when the message goes forth and somebody walks up sick. Lord, I want to see you in your Shekinah glory come down and heal them. I want to see souls saved. I want to see another 15 in the altar like we had here a few months back, seeking God and trying to get right with God and trying to make sure that they're not like the rich young man. Trying to make sure that they're not like Judas was and forsake God. See, it means a lot. It doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. Where do you stand tonight with God? See, that's what counts. Where do you stand? Well, I'll have you know, like the lady said and the woman said in the hospital, well, I'll have you know I'm a Methodist. What's that got to do with it? So I'm going to bring it down home. Get mad at me if you want to. He said, well, bless God, Brother Layton, I'll have you know I believe this message and I go to a message church. So? What does that prove? It proves you can hear. It proves you can understand. It proves you can drive or walk. Come in. It proves you can sit on a pew. It proves you can sit here for a while. You can sing a few songs. You can clap your hands. You can hear the message, and it proves you can get up and walk right out and live just like you was before you came in the door. Now, for those of you that was at the storefront when we did the series on the tabernacle in the wilderness, remember? What happened? Outside of that tabernacle was the world, the 12 tribes. Any one of them 12 tribes could walk into the outer court that wanted to. Any one of those 12 tribes could come in and offer sacrifices that wanted to. Any one of those 12 tribes could do certain things. They could wash it and they could have it slain and they can do so. But any one of them same 12 tribes could walk right straight back through that doorway or that curtain and live the same life outside that they come inside and ask have had an animal slain to put off their sins. But they could walk right back out and do the same thing over again. So it is today. You can walk in this church and hear the best sermon in the world. You can sing like an archangel. You can clap your hands. You can shout. You can jump. You can yell. You can scream. You can speak in tongues. You can even preach. And walk out that door and live a life that didn't even worthy of the gospel. Oh, you might fool me. You might fool the pastor. You might fool each other. But I guarantee you there's one you won't fool. And that's the master himself. He knows what's down in the heart. He knows the secret thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what you're sitting on the pew, whether you're really there because you want to be, or if you're there because you have to be, or if you're there just because, oh, it makes me feel good to go to church. I hadn't thought about that one. I don't come to church to feel good. I come to church to worship my Lord. If worshiping my Lord makes me feel good, then that's just a bonus. I've drugged myself to church when I was sick. I've drugged myself to church when I was so tired I couldn't hardly see straight. I've drugged myself when the devil's sitting on my shoulder, Brother Trevor, saying, "Nah, you don't want to go. Nah, you're tired. Nah, it's okay. They won't miss you. What does it matter? Just stay home." You don't think so? Ask her. And then you get up and say, "Nope, devil, get behind me. I'm going to church. I got to go." You say, "What do you mean you got to go? There's something down within me that I just desire that I just can't help. I've got to go. I've got to go and get together with my brothers and sisters of like faith. I've got to go and encourage them. And I've got to go so they can encourage me. And I've got to go so that I can worship my Lord in song and in hand clapping and in prayer and in praise. And I've got to go so I can hear the word of God to get a little bit stronger." See, it's more than just going just to show up and say, "Well, now let me see. Let's see, Brother Jeremy's there, and I wonder if I'm not there, I wonder what he'll think about me. You know, maybe I better go because Brother Jeremy may say, 'Oh, what's happened? Brother Layton must have backslid. He's not in church tonight. He's missed two services. Wow, we're going to have to call. Hey, Brother Joel, you other deacons better get a hold of Brother Layton and get him straightened out. He's missing too much.'" See, that's the way people think. "Well, I wonder where so-and-so is. They must have backslid. Oh, that's the way it was in Pentecost. If you missed a couple of services, you must have backslid. If you didn't jump and shout and speak in tongues and clap your hands and dance, oh, you must be backslid." I don't know. I've stood right there in church. I remember down at Brother Yancey's one time, standing more than once, two or three times, I happened to be blessed to stand by this black fella. And he'd get this, you know how, I mean, that didn't mean that the wrong way. You know how they are. They just like to get in and worship God and real clap. And he'd get to dancing around and clapping his hands and just carrying on and worshiping God. And I'm just standing there watching him and just a big old grin on my face. Not condemning him. I'm rejoicing because he's rejoicing. It's not in my nature to do that all the time. Once in a while, the Lord will bless me to the point where I can't sit still or stand still and I'll dance or something. But not very often. But him, hey, that was fine with me. I love sitting next to him because he's getting a blessing, and so am I. So you see, it's what are you going to church for? Amen. I don't know. You know, maybe I better, Brother so-and-so is going to be there, so I guess I better go. Well, what if Brother so-and-so don't show up? Oh, well, there's a special preacher coming to town. Well, what if he gets sick? I got a better one than that for you. What if he gets in town, he preaches a message that walks all over your life? Now what are you going to do? Well, maybe I won't come back tomorrow night, Brother Barry. You know what I mean? After all, he got nosy. He got to dipping into my life, and I don't like it. He opened that closet door over there. You stay away from that one. Oh, yeah, this is my house. Don't you come in. Nope. Don't you do that. I just won't come back. I won't put nothing in the offering. I'll fix that. Oh, you think people don't think that way? Oh, yeah. I know this is kind of a silly sermon. Forgive me. Okay. Listen. Let's take it even farther. Let's talk to the young people for a few minutes. Now I'm going to step in your doors. I love preaching to young people. May not be very good at it. I'm sure not Brother Trevor. But I have my own rough way of getting it across, I guess. Listen. You can go to school. You can study hard. You can graduate with honors. You can get a great job. You can make a lot of money. Get a nice house, nice cars. That's all right. No problem with that whatsoever. You can be the head of your class. What do they call that? Yeah, that one. Valedictorian. You can be whatever names they put on all these things. You can be the star football player or basketball player. You can be the popular kid in school and in college. You can join the lodge. I can't think of what they call them now. My mind went blank there. But nonetheless, you can be the best that you can be in school. You can graduate. You may even want to be a teacher. Sorority. I heard that one come from somewhere. I've got a grandson, and it belongs to a sorority. Fortunately, he picked the right one. No, not Andrew. This is another one. He's down in Western Kentucky. But listen, he picked the right one. I asked him about it. He said, they don't drink. They don't party. They don't do all this stuff. They do a lot of community service, and they help a lot of people. I'm proud of him, but you know what? He's missing one thing. That's the Lord. Amen. I've talked to him about the message, and he says, well, Grandpa, he said, I just have to say we just see things a little different. I said, that's okay. I've talked to people in the message that disagreed with me and said worse than that. I've been told I didn't have the Holy Ghost and I'm going to hell just because I didn't agree with them. My response was, you know, I'm sure glad I don't have to depend on you. He's the only one who can send me. So, I was saying, you can be the head of your class, you can be the star in sports, you can be, oh man, you can go out of school, you can go into politics, you can be in the city council or the mayor, you can be the state representative, you can go into the United States Congress or Senate, you can be the vice president, you could be the president. All of that's fine. I can't tell you you can't do all or you shouldn't do all that stuff, but I will tell you this, to do all of that and not have Christ, there's a big problem. Not for me, for you. Because the rich young ruler had a problem. He must have been pretty well thought of in his day. Can you imagine how much money he could have gave to the charities? Can you imagine how many people he could have helped? Can you imagine what he could have accomplished if he could have just gotten Christ in his heart and used his money for the right thing instead of just building bigger and bigger and bigger barns and filling them up and tearing them down and building some more and tearing them down and building some more and then lay back one night and say, oh, soul, you have just done everything you can do. Oh, you've accomplished it. You're at the top. Just lay back and take your easy. And then he didn't like where he woke up. So what good does it do to have all of that? What good does it do you? What good does it do me? What good does it do me? I'll bring it down personal. What good does it do me to preach the gospel if I don't know him? Amen. And there's a lot of them out there that do that. They're in there for, it's a job. They get paid 52 weeks out of the year. They get vacations or whatever. And you know that's all right, but do they have the Holy Ghost and are they preaching the gospel in power and demonstration? Or are they just preaching a social gospel? And that's all right, sister. That's all right, brother. You do this, and no, that's okay if you do that. Oh, yes, you can do that. Oh, we don't mind. Just put your money in the offering plate when it comes around. In fact, we're going to set up some little things here. When you walk in, you just swipe your card. No, we're not going to. I'm sorry. But there's some that have it. You can walk in. You can pay your tithes with your credit card. Is that wrong? I don't know. If that's what they want to do, go ahead. But I'll tell you one thing, they sure can get it that way, can't they? Don't have to worry about the check bouncing. Don't have to worry about, Brother Barry, if you got $40 in your pocket to pay tithes on that $500 that you made and you're just going to pay $40. No, this isn't a tithe sermon. It's just something that crossed my mind. Or maybe the Lord put it there for somebody. But you see, it's what you do with your life. It's what you live that counts. You can be rich. You can be poor. What Brother Branham say about the little colored woman down in Tennessee somewhere? The one he called the Aunt Jemima, I think it was. Oh, no, the Shunammite woman, excuse me. Like her, with the son that was dying. Said he's been in king's palaces. Said, but he walked into that house and he said he knew Christ was there. Amen. See, there's the difference. How many? I wonder, how many palaces did Brother Branham walk into that he could say, I knew God was there? Not because they were rich, but because they couldn't find their way to him and they refused to come the way that he provided. Right. See, that's it. For this woman, she did. So it's something for us to think about. You can be whatever you want to be, but remember, keep Christ in what you are. Above all, I don't care if you're rich or if you're poor or if you're in the middle. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Christ? Because what good does the rest of the stuff do without him? Amen. You know, you can be a deacon. You can be a trustee. You can be a song leader. You can be a musician. You can be a singer of special songs. You can be the pastor. You can be the preacher. You can be a missionary. You can be an evangelist. What good does it do if you don't know Christ? I don't care how well you know the Bible. I don't care how well you know the message. Do you know the master? Do you know the author? That's the one you've got to know. If you don't know nothing but Hebrews 13:8 and you believe everything that God has said, then that's what counts. Amen. But if you can know everything on every tape and every book and every Bible and don't know the author, what good does it do you? Amen. What did Paul say? Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not what? Charity, which we know is love. Then I am nothing. I'm like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. It gives off some phony sound. That's the way it is with many that claim to be Christians, and they go to church and they walk outside the doors and they get in the car and they go home, and what are they now? Amen. My own mother turned the message down. I remember sitting in Illinois with the pictures and talking to her and had them on my lap, and she looked down and seen the cloud picture. It happened to be facing the right way, and she looked down at it, and she says, "Oh, I know what that is." I said, "What?" She says, "That's Jesus Christ." We gave her tapes. We gave her a tape player. She read them, listened to them for a while, and she was doing good a few months, I guess, and then she must have taken it to her pastor. That ended that. The next time we were back and seen her, and we went to church with her, kind of like Brother Branham, you know, the truth sometimes isn't the best to say, but I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead. She's gone, but I'm just speaking facts. Walk in and say, "Oh, hello, brother. Hello, sister." Just like honey dripping off a rock. So sweet and so kind and so this and so that. Walk out of church and get in the car and shut the door, and she starts cussing and hollering at the kids. So, wow, what happened? Where was that gal that was in there? She must have left her in there, because she sure didn't get in the car with me. Why? Because she turned down the message for a social gospel. Oh, it's all right. Just wear what you want. Go where you want. Do what you want. Just come to church. Worship God. Repent. Be baptized. You'll be okay. Really? So you see, friends, what? I can't say she's lost. I'm not saying that. It's up to him. But I have to say it this way. What good did it do her? What good did it do her? It didn't do her a bit of good to sit and listen to tapes and then turn it down. It didn't do her a bit of good to go to church and not find the master.
Come on.
And get to know him. Mm-hmm. And then live it, because he lives inside. It didn't do a bit of good. That's how important it is. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. What good does it do? What good does it do you to come and sit in this church building or any other church building if you don't get to Christ himself? What good does it do? You can sing like angels. You can play the instruments. You can preach the gospel. You can be a deacon. You can be a janitor. You can just be a bench warmer. I don't say that despairingly. But unless you know Jesus Christ himself, it does you no good. That's what I'm trying to get across. What good does it do if you don't know him? It does you absolutely no good. I don't care if you... I can't remember where I've quoted many times, and I keep saying I got to look that one up and find it, because somebody's going to hit me with it one of these days. I believe Brother Bram said there'll be those there that only heard one message or tape. I don't remember which word he used, and they'll make it. And there'll be those there that heard every one of them, and they'll miss it. Think about it. Can you imagine listening to 1,288 tapes, or whatever the number is now, and you listen to all of them tapes, and you say they're all right, and you believe all that's on them, and yet you don't know the one that's speaking, and it's not Brother Branham, it's Jesus Christ speaking through him, and yet you don't know the author of the word? What good did it do you to sit and listen to 1,288 tapes? Amen. Think about it. What good does it do you to come to church if you're not going to live the life? What good does it do you to dress right and act right and talk right, and yet inside there's nothing? Oh, I'm afraid that maybe Sister Sherry, if she sees what I'm wearing, she may not like what I wear. Oh, my. You know, Sister so-and-so, she may not like what I wear. Or maybe I wear something somebody else don't like. But what does he like? Sure, we know there's limits. Don't misunderstand that statement. I remember when we was, well, I better not say that. We went to a church at times in times past, and everybody in the church watched the pastor's wife. I'm glad Sister Rebecca isn't here tonight, but she'll probably hear this. And if I called the name, you'd know it. But they watched the pastor's wife. And no, it's not in Jeffersonville or Indiana, so I've been in a lot of states, so have fun figuring that one out. But listen, everybody in church watched the pastor's wife. And because she dressed very nice, very modest, but modern. By modern, I don't mean worldly. I'm talking about in nice dresses and skirts and blouses. Others thought it was great, and others said, well, look at her. Huh. Must be getting a lot of money out of the tithes here because that woman, boy, she's sure dressing awful good over there. Look at that. They failed to realize that woman had a little job cleaning houses, and she used her money from the house cleaning to go buy her own clothes. She didn't want to take the pastor's money, the tithe money, and buy her clothes. She wanted to get her own money, so she did. Right? Wrong, indifferent, I don't know. That's between her and God. I'm just telling you. But so you see, sometimes it don't matter how well you dress, how hard you try. There's always going to be somebody the devil can get into and say, whoop, look at that. But do you see what Sister Anna done? Do you see how she acted? Do you see what? You know what I think we ought to do? In fact, I know we ought to. Go downstairs and let's all look in the mirror. In fact, you don't even have to go downstairs. Walk right back there. Look in them reflective windows and tell me where the biggest problem is tonight. This is mine. And if you're all honest with yourselves, you'd say the same thing. I'm the biggest problem I got. If I can keep my eyes on me, you know what I meant by that. I don't mean don't take them off of him, but I hope you understood what I meant when I said that. Brother Trevor's already laughing at me. If I could just watch my own life, let me say it that way. If I can just make sure that I'm lined up with the Word. If I can check the Word and check my life out with that Word and line up with that. If I can do that and quit watching everybody else and what they're dressing and what they're saying and what they're doing, unless they just step way out of line. See, then go to them in love. But the problem is too many times is too many people doing what? Not having enough of Christ in them. They'll tell what they want to do is pick on everybody else. Right, let's see now, if I can drag Brother... I lost who I was going to say. It's all right. I'll pick on Caleb. He's sitting back there. If I can drag him down, it'll make me feel better. Oh, well, hey, look, see, I've got him down here. You know, I'm up here and he's down there. So, well, yeah, see, I'm right and I straightened him out. Look in the mirror of God's word and get yourself straightened out. That's what we've got to do. Quit looking at our brothers and sisters. What good is it going to do you to decide, well, I'm going to straighten Sister April out. I'm going to straighten Sister Naomi out. I'm going to straighten, you know, this sister out. I'm going to straighten out Sister Mary Beth. I'm going to straighten out Sister Anna. I'm going to straighten out Sister Sarah. I'm going to straighten out Brother, there I went again, right over my head. All right, I'll pick on Brother David. I see him over there grinning at me. I'll straighten Brother, no, let's try straightening ourselves out. Let's look in God's word and let's line ourselves up. What good is it going to do you to straighten everybody else out and you're lost yourself? Amen. If we get our eyes on Jesus Christ and off of everybody else and get it on him and his word and live according to that, we're going to get somewhere. Amen. Brother Bram said this on possessing the gate of the enemy in 64. If you're a church member, that's a good thing, but that's not good enough, see? The rich young ruler was a member of the church, see? He asked Jesus, what could he do to have eternal life? He never accepted it. He walked away. What a foolish thing for the young man to do. Don't take his place. You remember the last time that he was identified a little later? He prospered. He got richer. He got to a place till even his barns bursted. And then we find out his last identification in hell. Flames, tormenting. Don't let that happen to you. Accept Christ. Think about it. So all these things I've been naming off, maybe getting you to laugh a little bit, because I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to pick on any anybody. I'm trying to pick on a situation. And no, I don't know what everything, just because I'm a deacon, I don't know everything that goes on in this church. And I'll tell you straight up, the pastor don't tell me either. So if he knows, don't think he's come running. If I've stepped on your toes, well, Brother Nathan must have talked to Brother Layton. No, he didn't. That's a good amen. That's all right. See, she said, yeah. Listen, God did not send the rich young ruler to hell. Do you know that? He did not. He sent himself to hell. Because he failed to accept one word of God that would have gotten him eternal life. He did not do it. God didn't. The ruler, the rich man did it himself by failing to obey it. Listen, folks, don't let the word of God become a dead letter to you. Amen. A lot of people do. Oh, they go to church and they sit there and they hear it, but it runs in one ear and out the other. It's like children listening to their parents. You can talk till you're blue in the face. And oh, yeah, okay, yeah, right, Mom, yeah, right, Dad. Right out there and do just exactly the opposite of what you tell them to do. Yep. I don't think I've ever done that. I know you believe that. But you see, that's the way too many Christians are. Brother Branham, we can put on a tape and Brother Branham can preach it and preach it and preach it and preach it. And people sit there and say, wow, Brother David, that sure was a good sermon. I wonder if Brother so-and-so got that. Did you hear where he said such and such? I wonder if Sister so-and-so heard that. You know, I happen to know that. Did you get it? Remember the woman that Brother... Wait, where am I at here? Hold on. Okay. I want to check the clock. Remember when Brother Brown preached that sermon and this woman, this sister, I guess you'd say, she come up to him, boy, you sure got him tonight. I can't remember exactly how it was phrased. Then some of the other sisters come up and he was telling them, oh, she must really be a Holy Ghost filled, a real Christian woman. This and he said, oh, well, yeah, but you used one thing you didn't hit on tonight, Brother Branham. So what was that? He said, gossip. She's the biggest one. Now, Brother David, there was a time back in the late 60s, early 70s, if I'd referred to that way, I would have been taken to task. He said, what are you talking about? There was a time when you didn't do it that way. You had to quote that quote verbatim or people would be all over you. They were. I'm serious. If you went to quote Brother Branham, you better have her down right, because if you missed one word, somebody would correct you. And we didn't have computers, so we had to know them. I still don't know them all. Thank God for computers, though. But you see, it's what are you going to do with that which God sent your way? The rich young ruler came and said, what can I do to obtain eternal life? And he only had one thing to do. Sell all that you have and go give it to the poor. And it was a hard saying and he couldn't do it. He walked away. What have we got today? We've got the Bible revealed. We've got the mysteries revealed. Things have been prophesied and things are foretold. We know how to dress, how to act, where to go, where not to go, what to do. It's all been taught to us and explained to us over and over and over and over. And all we have to do, I've said this a few times, is only believe. You say, but you said that wasn't good enough. Now let's dig a little deeper. You going to believe it here? Cain did. Eve did. Judas did. Or are you going to believe it here? When he comes and he speaks, not to your mind, to your heart. When you believe it down here, that's the difference. You can have it all the head knowledge you want. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, have all the head knowledge you want. But if you don't have a revelation, what did Jesus tell Peter? Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. It wasn't a school. It wasn't a book. It was my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. By revelation, you know who you are. By revelation, you know you received the Holy Ghost. By revelation, you know how to live. By revelation, you know how to act. Because we can stand up here and Brother Nathan and I and Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor and Brother Arnie, we can preach till we're blue in the face. And you get up, walk right outside and go right on. It just went in one side and out the other and just, oh, that was a good sermon. But that's as far as it went. But did it stop somewhere in the middle and fall down into your heart? Did it become a reality? Did it become a revelation that all of a sudden you went, oh, now I get it? Because I can't remember where it was at. It's happened more than once, but this lady, sister, walked up to me after a sermon I preached one night at a visit. Went out preaching when I was evangelizing, and she's all, Brother Layton, she said, I have, you know, she said, that was just for me tonight. I said, well, that's good, sister. I'm glad. She said, you see, our pastor has been preaching on that very thing, teaching on that very thing you preached on tonight. But I didn't get it. But the way you said it tonight, I got it. I understand what he was trying to say now. It wasn't me. It was him. Not in my crazy way of preaching. You see, but it's him. He takes it and makes it sound good to you, I hope. So you see, God, let me go back. God didn't send the rich young ruler to hell. He sent himself because he refused to accept God's provided way. And believest thou this, in 1950, Brother Branham says, you don't go to hell because you're a sinner. You go to hell because you refused to accept the way from hell. And there's a bypass, and that's Christ. Amen. See, it's what you accept that makes the difference. Amen. On the resurrection in 53, he says, what we need today is a raw gospel. Oh, my goodness. A raw gospel. That's not cooked over and warmed up and thrown in the refrigerator and pulled out and warmed up again and cooked up again and put back in the oven and pulled out again. It's a raw gospel. To tell you that you're a sinner and going to hell, if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you're out of the kingdom of God. That's right. Now, that's raw. So I don't care what you say you believe. I don't care how well you say you live it. I don't care how well you think you act. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost tonight, you're just as lost can be. Amen. That's what he said. On the resurrection, let's see, that was it. The resurrection, let me see. Believest thou this, you're a sinner. Resurrection. That was on the resurrection 53. On trying to do God a service without his will, he says, so what difference does it make what age you are? Musicians, if you'll come. What difference does it make what age you are? What are you doing about it in this hour that you're living now? That you're living in? What are you doing for Jesus at this time? See, what difference does it make? Makes a lot of difference. So what good would it do? What good does it do? What difference does it make? The difference is heaven and hell. What good does it do? The same thing. The difference between heaven and hell. Did it do Cain any good to hear the word of God and then not act on it? No. Did it do the rich young ruler any good to hear the word of God and not act on it? No. Did it do Judas any good to hear the word of God and not act on it? No. Does it do you or I any good to hear the word of God and not act on it? What good does it do to come to church if you're not going to act on it? Oh, you may come to church and hear a good sermon. You may come and repent. You may get baptized and walk out the door and go right back to the same life you lived. Listen, in the desert, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they could come into the outer court and go out and live the same life when they came in. They could go into the inner court and go out and live the same life that they lived when they came in. But if they ever once got into the holiest of holies, they were never the same. That's it. You can come to church every day and go out and live any way you want to. You can come to church and every service come to the altar and repent. Every service be baptized if you want to. And what good does it do unless you sell out to Christ himself and accept him? Until you know him, the rest of it's just going through the motions. I'm glad for the motions, but you know what? You've got to get desperate. Brother Branham spoke of desperation. We've got to get desperate till when we absolutely see that the rich young ruler done wrong, and that Judas done wrong, and that Cain done wrong, and so many others down through the Bible done wrong. And yet we'll sit back and say, but I go to church and I believe the message, and I sing songs and I pay my tithes and I do good works and I but do you know Jesus Christ himself? Do you know the author of the book? Or do you just know the book? That's the difference. It's not just to know the book, but know the author. You've got to get him. In order to get him, you've got to be willing to give up everything you have to give up to get him. Everything. I guess I'll embarrass him. My son Paul's sitting over here. That's the bread man, by the way, that ruins all your carb diets. When God called him and he decided to give his heart to the Lord, it cost him his wife. I'm so proud of him. But it wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ. See? She didn't want to accept it. She knows the message. Her and I had hours upon hours of talk about this message. But you see, when he seen it, raised around his shirt and all that, yeah, but until God got a hold of him and he answered that call, then I'm not going to church. Don't play that music in my home. I'll play it if I want to. See, this type of thing. Just that spirit got worse and worse and worse. I wonder how many of you, if you've got an unbelieving spouse, or would give one up, or if you've got a girlfriend, or if you've got a boyfriend, would you give that up for Christ? Oh yeah, I'm opening doors. You come to church just to ease your conscience? Brother Ram said that. There's people come to church just to ease their conscience. Play whatever hits your heart, Sister Stephanie. Think about it. You've got to be ready to sell out to him. Right. Sell out everything for him. Right. Whether it be mother, father, sister, brother, wife, son, daughter, job, church, friends, neighbors. What good does it do you to have all of that and not have Jesus Christ? What good does it do for you to have all of that and end up in a burning hell? I don't care if you believe the message, that ain't going to save you. I don't care if you go to Open Door or the Revealed Tabernacle or Branham Tabernacle or any other church around the world where you go to church, ain't going to save you. Do you know Jesus Christ? That's what's going to save you. When you know him, when he seals you on the inside and you don't even want to go out and do what you used to do. You don't want to do those things out there that your neighbors do and your friends do and your classmates and your workmates and your schoolmates and everybody else does. All you want to do is serve him. Oh, that don't mean you can't have a good time and laugh and cut up and, you know, I'm not saying we're not walking down through with blinders on and go, I can't look this way, I can't look that way. I can't do this. I can't do that. Where there's Christ, there's liberty. Like I told people before, I do anything and everything I want to. Thing of it is, the things I'm not supposed to do, he's taking that want to out of there, like Brother Branham said. That's what we've got to have. That's what every one of you sitting here tonight have got to have. And if you don't have it, you better get it. I was talking to Brenda earlier, I think it was today. I talk so much to her, sometimes I forget what I said. Or when I said it, at least. I said, have you ever stopped to think, Brenda, of how many people we've outlived? We're talking about some of our friends that's gone on. I've been following Brother Branham's teachings for 54 years, going on 55. I was 19 and a half when I came into this message. I'm 74, going on 75. How many people have I known that's gone on? A lot. I said, have you thought of how many that was our age when we got married? She was just barely 16 and I was going on 20. I wonder how many 16-year-olds died the day we got married. I wonder how many 19, 20-year-olds died. I told Andrew, I said, I've outlived a lot of kids your age. Don't think because you're 18 18 and a half, 17, 19, 23, 30, whatever it may be. If you don't know him, don't think just because I've been made it this far, I'll make it as far as Brother Layton did. You don't know what is going to happen. You may walk out of here and meet your rapture. I remember one time some years before Paul came to the Lord, he was talking to Brother Joseph at the Brandon Tabernacle parking lot, and he would tell you, a lot was said in that hour and a half that he talked to you, or 2 hours, whatever it was. But one thing that stuck with me and him, Brother Joseph told him, he's talking about the rapture and so forth. He said, Paul, he said, you could drive out of here, go through that intersection, somebody run that stop sign and hit broadside you, and he said, you just met your rapture. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready? What good does it do you to sit on a bench pew like a bump on a log and not move when God's calling? What good does it do when you sit there and say, oh, but I believe, so does Satan. What good does it do? Think about that. What difference will it make if you come forward and say, Lord, I want you? The difference between heaven and hell. You say, but Brother Layton, I've already repented. I've been baptized. Have you got the Holy Ghost? There's another step. It's not just repentance and baptism and oh, I've changed the way I dress, and I've changed the way I've acted, and I've changed this, and I've changed that. Have you received Him? Not just the word that you hear, not just the word that you can read. Have you received the person of Jesus Christ? If not, I urge you, give it all over to Him. Sell out everything you have to do. If you could, think Brother Branham tells the story about the diamond, doesn't he? About the man that's looking for this diamond of great price. He sold everything he had because he wanted to go get that diamond. Well, Jesus Christ is the diamond. He's that pearl of great price. Maybe it's a pearl instead of a diamond. It doesn't matter. It's a precious stone of some type. He's the precious stone. Have you sold out everything for Him? Are you willing to sell out everything for Him? Or are we just going to be churchgoers and message believers, and I'll talk right and walk right and act right, and I'll go to church? But do you know Him? Oh, have Thine own way. They play that with every head bowed, please. I told Brother Furman I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to wait and see how the Lord led. Is there one here tonight, anyone, you want to raise your hand against gravity and say, Brother Layton, I realize that I've got to sell out. I realize I'm lacking a little bit. God bless you. God bless you. Your head down, please. God bless you. Hands going up. Oh, mine's up. I make mistakes. I fail Him. I was telling Him on the way to church tonight, God, I said, I fail you so much. And I'm so sorry. But see, that's what it takes, a broken and contrite heart. Preachers aren't exempt from mistakes. Deacons aren't exempt from mistakes. The devil wants us maybe more than some of you. But the thing is, if you realize, God, I've got to sell out everything. I've got to sell out everything for you. I want more, as that song says, more of you. I've got to have it. Can you get desperate tonight and say, God, tonight I want the Holy Ghost. Tonight I want the Holy Ghost. Is there any sitting here tonight that want to raise their hands and say, Brother Layton, I know I don't have the Holy Ghost, but I want it. Is there any? God bless you, people. My, God knows your heart anyway. I don't, but He does. You don't have to come forward to get the Holy Ghost. You can get in your seat. It depends on what you want to do. You want to fall down on your knees? You want to sit there? You want to run and jump and say, God, forgive me, fill me with the Holy Ghost? You do whatever you feel led. But tonight, people, tonight, let's let this be the night that you sell out to Him and for Him and say, God, I've got to have it. Be like the feller was it. Brother Bram tells about they let him out here and here and here trying to get him to the Holy Ghost. He let him out into a pigsty. You know, it's where the pigs waller in that old muddy, nasty stuff. And said, you get it right here. Why? Because you get desperate enough, you don't care where you are. It don't have to be in a nice church with nice carpet and all of that. It can be in your house, in your car, in your bedroom, in your closet, at work, wherever it is. But sell out for Him. Get rid of the world and give place to Jesus Christ in your heart. Want to come forward and kneel? Come forward and be prayed for? Oh, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. While we're waiting, is there one? Oh, thou art the Father, as we close out now, I commit those that raise their hands unto you. You continue to deal with them. You lead them. Father, may they find their way to that place that we've spoken of. That place, Lord, that inner place, that holiest of holies. May they find their way there, Lord. And may they yield their life to you. May they yield everything. May they give up everything of the world for you. Father, and then when they do that, when they get desperate enough to give everything over to you, you fill them with the Holy Ghost because you're the only one that can. May you take this message that I've tried to speak tonight, Lord, if I could have delivered it the way I felt I got it. Lord, forgive me if I made any mistakes. Forgive me if I said something I shouldn't have. But Lord, you just take it and let it drop into the hearts of your children. May they catch the vision, the revelation of what I was trying to get across to them that you gave me. All these things of the world, everything you can accomplish is no good without you. Thank you, Lord, for leading me and guiding me and helping me. And I give you the glory for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
That last verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Oh, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being. Absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow. And his royal blood It now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and so vile, I now can see. Praise God, praise God. Yes, I'm a child of the King, and one I was born in the wraps of my sin. I was wretched and poor, so lost and lonely within. Oh, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all in pity and great love, He took me. Let's stand and sing it. His wings. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and vile, I now can see. Praise God, oh praise God. Yes, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm a child with the heavenly home, and my holy Father, He has made me His own, and now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love, and someday with all the angels above. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood, it now flows through my veins. And I, and while I now can see, praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King. And
Brother Lee, will you come dismiss his brother?
Through my veins, and I, oh, who was and now can see. Praise God.
Let's bow our heads. Thank you for the message, Lord, you've given us tonight. Lord, let us, Lord, count the cost, Father. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you, Lord, as we walk our ways, Father. Lord, let it not just be our ways, but let it be your ways, Father. For the word says, the footsteps of a righteous man is the word of the Lord. God, we just pray that you'll be a leader to us and a guide, Father, in all that we do. Father, help us to give thanks to you for all that you've done for us. God, keep us safe.
Bless you, saints. Pray that each one of you has a blessed Thanksgiving. Remember those that are traveling. We'll sing that as we go.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King and His royal blood. It now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and so vile, child with the